Hi Maurizio, I'm Daria and welcome to TrueMetal.it. How your day's been so far?
It's been good. Been doing some interviews and promoting the new album for a
Yes.
couple of weeks now, so
Yes.
I'm getting used to the whole routine of doing interviews every day. You know, that's
Yeah,
almost
that's.
for many musicians the hard part, you know.
Yes, I can well imagine that. Listen, Cataclysm is entitled as the Northern Kings of Hyperplast. Would you like to tell me more about this title?
Well, it's something that we got this title from fans a long, long time ago in Canada when we first started the band, because at the time we started, there was a different type of style of death metal that was big. It
Yeah.
was slower, like Obituary and bands like Death and stuff like that, Pestilence. There were all these style of death metal bands growing, and when we came, we were very extreme with the blast beats, and we were a very chaotic band. And they said, "Man, our blast beats were so fast that they weren't the typical ones, you know." So they said that it's more than a blast beat; it's like a hyper blast beat, you know. And
Yes,
then
yeah.
it started with that, and because we're from Canada, the North thing. This is the Northern Hyper Blast because the drummer at the time had invented this really fast blast beat, and it stuck with us for all our career, you know. So.
Yes. That's a good one. Maurizio, before we go to your new album, I would like to talk about your fantastic voice. It's so full of energy and anger. Is it something that you eat for breakfast, or how do you train it?
Well, you know, I think it took me a while to develop it. I think you know, I started the band as a bass player and was doing backing vocals and as I was doing the band early in the days. But when I switched over in the late 90s and I started doing the vocalist for the band, I had to come with my own personality. And I'm a very passionate person, as you can probably know from now, that I am very in love with what I do. So when I do an album, I have to put all my heart in it, you know, and that it just comes out that way, you know. And I guess I developed my own style, and I'm very fortunate for that. Some singers, I think, sound like everybody else because they copy, you know, they do a lot of lip syncing with other bands when I think when they are learning it, but I always did my own thing, so I think
Yes,
that
yes.
it
Yes,
developed my own personality.
and the passion can be heard from your voice.
Yes.
That I can tell.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Listen,
Awesome.
today we'll talk mainly about your upcoming album, Waiting for the End to Come, which comes out, as you said, via Nucleoplast in 2 weeks from now. Let's start from the title. Why this choice?
Well, it's two different choices that we've chosen to do that. First, because Waiting for the End to Come is something that I think a lot of people think. We live in a very unstable world at the moment. There's not really one place on Earth that is stable, that it's looking like it's great and good times. You know, it's kind of a dark time at the moment, and it doesn't look like it's getting better. Seems like the mentality of people is changing also very rapidly. Feel this pressure around us a lot, you know. It doesn't matter if it's America, Canada, Italy, you feel it's not safe, you know. So I think that there's this feeling that there's going to be a big change in the future. This is the way I think, I feel, you know. It's one of the reasons behind it. Also, the other reason behind the title, which is more personal to me, is more about, you know, the moment you're born, you start dying. It's like a normal process of life, you know, and I think that a lot of people don't realize that we are not here forever. And I think that we are waiting for the end to come because that's where we're here. But at the same time, we have to experiment life and, you know, use it in as most positive way possible, you know. So that's pretty much the idea behind the title. You know, the album deals a lot with mortality and a lot with social aspects of life, you know.
I guess that's also your sort of message through this album, that live your life best you can.
Right. You know, it's a very negative outlook, but with a positive message behind it, you know. And that's very important to me. And I actually got the title, which was crazy, from my grandfather, because earlier this year, I lost both my grandparents, and I lost them within about 3 weeks of each other, you know. And they helped raise me a lot, you know, as Italian families do. They're very tight with each other, And he made me realize that in his last moments, talking to me about, you know, it's already over. Life is over. You know, I know I'm going to die, and that's it. You know, I've sacrificed so much, and then I realized that I didn't do everything I wanted to do. And he's like, you know, it's like I've been waiting for the end to come. And when he said that, I was like, that's going to be my album title, you know.
Yes, yes.
So it was
tribute to
very hard-hitting, you know.
Yes, I know.
So it's like one of those things where he wanted me to understand that, you know, no matter what, you have to continue to do what you want to do in life, you know. And not forget your past, your family, but continue to do what you got to do, you know. So it was, I think, a message that a lot of people can relate to, you know.
Yeah, it stops also to think about life and everything what it has in it. I got the tracks yesterday, and now after a couple of listening sessions, I can say that it has everything that I would expect from your record. Hyperblasts, strong and fast riffs and drumming, epic melodies and overall destruction. But how would you describe the album?
You know, I describe it as a very complete Cataclysm album. Some records have maybe too much of one thing and not enough of the other. I think this album has everything very well balanced. You know, there's enough melodies in there where it transports the listener into a different world, and then can bring you back into a very aggressive mode, you know.
Yes.
There's this different type of feelings that go through the album. It doesn't stay in one mode. It doesn't stay in one just aggressive mode the whole time. You know, a lot of bands, you play press, and then, you know, 40 minutes later or 45 minutes later, it's the same riff, you know. It's like we are not that type of band, and we're very diverse. From one song to another, it's a different feeling.
Yes.
But it all's consistency, you know. I think that would be the most important way to describe it. It's the consistency of this record, you know.
Yes,
production is great. I think that Zeus has done a great job with JF, the guitar player that we have, which has produced the album. And it's a dirty sound, but very strong. You know, you can hear everything perfect.
Yes, that's true. And by the way, the drummer on this album is not Max Duhamel, but Oli. I can't pronounce his surname. Oli?
His last name, Baudouin.
Okay, great.
It's very, very French.
Yes, very French indeed. So why this replacement?
Well, you know, me and ourselves and Max have been friends for a long, long time. We are, you know, family, pretty much. But in the last few years, he's having some issues, some family stuff that went from his personal life that started spilling in a little bit inside the band, and then it affected also his drinking, you know, heavily. It affected a lot of things, and we tried to help him as much as we could, but that we thought that the life on the road was taking a toll on him, you know. And we decided that it was important to give him some time off to really focus on his life, because I think that if we continue to just touring the way we tour, because we are a machine on the road, you know, we are always on the road all over the world, it could be dangerous for him, you know. So we thought it was the right thing to do, to give him a year off and just, you know, do his thing and get better, because also coming into this album was a very important album for Cataclysm. You know, this was almost 4 years between records, 3 years something, and we wanted to come out. We had the energy, you know, we had the energy, the will. He didn't have this, so this was the album would have lacked heart if we would have used them on it, and we couldn't take that chance. So Oli was the guy that was ready to do it, and he's a friend of ours, and he's an excellent drummer, one of the best in Canada, if not the world. I mean, he's an incredible drummer, very rounded drummer, you know. And so he came in and did the job, and you know, it brought a lot of life into the band, you know.
And what can you tell me about the songwriting process in general?
The songwriting, well, it was a different experience this time around. We decided that we were going to do it in a different mode, because now I live in Chicago, my guitar player lives in Dallas, and the other guys are in Canada, so we're very kind of not super far apart, but enough that, you know, you need a plane to get there, you know. So it would become too difficult for us to get together and spend 3 months, which is kind of impossible now to do, you know, and write a record, you know. So what we did is we took our time. It took about 7-8 months, but we used modern technology within Skype and within computers to send each other skeleton songs. And this way we had the basics done, you know, the guys own their own studios, so it was a lot easier to write the process like this. It actually went extremely smooth. The drummer would receive the songs and then put his drum beats right away in it, send them back programmed, you know, and then we would be able to see what his ideas were. So it was done very quickly. You know, today with internet, you can move very fast. So we had the ideas fast, but then we took our time to put it together. And we did it old school, though, at the end. We flew to Canada.
Okay.
And we rented a cabin up north in the lumberjack fashion, you know, like Canadians do. And we put the album together, recorded there all together, and like a band should do, and that's it. That was the way we did it, you know. But a lot of ideas were flowing, and it was all about doing the very innocent Cataclysm record, you know, like just the melodies have to be, and as I told the guys, don't hold back, go with whatever your heart is feeling, and
yes,
that's what came out.
Yes, and what about the song themes? And something you mentioned already, that they are part of your own experiences and everything. But the inspirations and everything, the situation that you create a new song, what could it be?
Well, you know, I always try to do something that I think many people would relate to as well. At some time, I think I use music as my therapy to talk to people, you know, so people listen and then they can understand what I'm thinking. I'm just very lucky to have this tool or weapon where I can just open a microphone and say everything I feel, you know, and it's very a good thing to have, you know. Some people don't have that privilege, you know. But this record to me deals a lot, you know, like I said, that what happened to my grandparents made me think a lot, because, you know, with life we tend to think a lot of things personally about everything, and then in the end it doesn't matter, you know. We're not going to take a lot of these things back with us when we die. It's the end is the end for everybody, you know. We're all the same in the eyes of death, you know. So it's, for me, it's really about coming to understand and accepting mortality as something that will happen to everybody, but it's not a really negative thing. It's about the moment that you're spending on Earth that counts, you know, the experience. So this record reflects on that motion a lot.
Yes, that you can leave behind you.
Exactly. You leave a legacy behind in your experience, which others can take and better their lives, and it's a chain. It's a never-going chain, you know. So it's one of those things where I really focused on this record. Also a little bit political, you know, songs like Kill the Elite, which to me is something that I know if you live in Italy, you know, with the government, you know, and few handful of people can control millions and influence millions of lives just for their own profit and gain. I think it sucks. And I think that the population should always decide. Yeah. No, look, to me, it's a simple solution. There has to be some sort of control in life.
Yes.
There has to be an order and things that needs to be done. But at some point when, you know, even the food that comes to my house, I don't know what's genetically modified, what it's not. You know, when they start going into your home, I think that sucks. And I think that's where I think that's drawing the line, and people are starting to notice a lot, you know.
Yes.
So I think it's what's going on, and I want to be, that's my opinion, where again, I am able to express myself, and I use the band to talk about it, you know.
Yes, that's good. And by the way, what is your favorite song or songs in this album, and why?
I love the first one, Fire. I think it's a very important song because it says everything in the title. It's the first one, and it's that thing that I have inside of me that I've had since I was a kid, that desire and that urge and that determination, you know, to continue and to go towards things that I wanted to get accomplished, you know.
Yeah.
And as long as I got the fire burning inside of me, then I know that I'm going to be okay, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a song that's very personal, you know. It's about never giving up that fire in you, you know, and that's very important. So for me, it's my favorite on the record, and I really like the last one as well, Elevate.
Yeah.
I think it's a great song. It's a very melodic song that can grab you and has very different variation to it, you know.
Yes, in fact. And I liked Animals, K killed elite.
Okay, yeah, no, it's like animals for sure. It will be a live hit, you know.
Yes, it will. Yes, for sure. And listen, your album was mixed and mastered by Deus. How was it work with him? And could you tell me any behind the scenes stories?
Well, you know what? We chose him for many reasons. One of them, we wanted to use somebody else that was different on this record because, like I said, it's a new beginning for us. We wanted to use somebody fresh and different with a different approach, you know. But he's done a fabulous job with bands like Hatebreed, that he's done a great job with them. And then he's also done a great job with bands like Suffocation. So for us, he was the right guy because he can do both styles. Both, you know, we have one foot in one scene, which is very groove-oriented, very heavy. And then we have melodies, and then we have also the extreme part. So for us, we're not an easy band to mix. So having him being able to balance both worlds was a key thing for us, you know. So him and JF working together made a huge impact. The only thing that was weird, like I would say, that story or something regarding a record, is that he mixes very bass-oriented, and we like it a little bit high, where you can hear everything, you know. Like, so there was this middle part. There was a little bit of a battle between both to get done, you know. But then we both compromised, and at the end we have, I think, the right record sounding, you know.
Yes, you found the solution, the best possible solution. Mm-hmm. And listen, in the studio, how it went? I mean, how much time you spent there, or you know, tell me about
we,
it.
We actually to record the record, to write it took about 7 months to put it together. You know, on and off. You know, because we couldn't spend every day on it. But in the studio, about a month.
Okay.
We spent 3 weeks to a month together putting it together. First, JF recorded his all his guitars in Texas,
yes.
And then we recorded everybody, the vocals, drums, everything in Canada.
Yes, okay, great. Listen, the album will be available in CD and digitally as a digipack, a vinyl LP, and on cassette. And you have said that you decided to release it for nostalgic reasons. But what else you could would like to add to it, to this decision?
Well, you know, it's the cassette for me. It's almost a rebellious thing that we're doing because people don't want to buy CDs because it's obsolete and whatever. So I just said they're going to download it, then I'm going to release it in cassette just to say, look, we're going to release it in a format that nobody can play it. So that was almost, you know, I did it for my own reasons of, you know, nostalgia, because I used to love buying cassettes when I was younger, you know, but I released it also because of that, you know, and there's a rebellious thing. And, you know, Nuclear Blast has a pre-order, and it's already all sold out, so it goes to show that people are just buying whatever that's different, not even almost the musical aspect, you know.
Yes. Talking about the artwork, there are two versions. Created by Eliran Kantor, which is the LP and digipack, right? And the other one is created by Peter Salai for jewel case and the cassette tape versions. What can you tell me about the idea of the artwork?
Well, the cassette version and the normal jewel case one is the one with the Reaper. That's more traditional. We wanted to give two different visions on the record. Like I said, it has different approaches to it. But we wanted to also, because it's our first record in 20 years, we wanted to give two artworks. One that keeps it the tradition of what it's been like on a digital version, fantasy type of thing with the Reaper that represents mortality, with the kid that represents humanity's innocence, you know. And that was like one of the main focuses of the record. And then the other one is a painting done by Eliran, which is black and white. It's the opposite of the other one. It's like two opposites that mean the same thing, you know. And it has it's an almost biblical type of feeling to it, you know. It has the bottom, has the bodies of people entwined into each other on the bottom, and it has this one person that is breaking the foundation of something that he's built. And in the background, this has a new civilization, you know, so it's like a new beginning. That was the ideas behind it. I wanted to give something special to the fans, and, you know, I think fans like to be spoiled, and we like to spoil them, so we came up with two concepts, you know.
You do good to spoil your fans.
Thank
right.
you.
Listen, listening to this album, it tells me that on stage these songs will be real killers. So from here we talk about your upcoming tours in November in the States with Sepultura and Unearth, in December in Australia and Japan, and just recently you announced a European tour for January and February with Crisium and Flesh Guard Apocalypse. What are your expectations about these tours?
Well, you know, it's been a while that we haven't toured the U.S. as well, but more even in Europe, because Europe, we've only done some festivals last year, but we have not toured a club tour in almost 3 years, so like 2.5 years, something like that. So it's our first return into a club version in Europe. I'm looking very forward to it, and of course, it helps to have our friends in Christian and Flesh God with us. It's a very good package. A lot of hype on the tour. I think with this record being so strong in the media at the moment, I think it's going to be a very, very cool tour. So my expectations are that we're going to have a good time no matter what, but I hope that I think it's going to do very well. And Japan is the place where I'm the most excited, to be honest. I have never been. This is the place where, to me, when I was a kid and starting this band, that I said to myself, if I ever play Japan, I said that I made it, you know.
So, and now it happens.
So for me, because my mom used to say, if you dig a hole on the ground from here, you're going to end up in Japan on the other side, you know. So I used to say, wow, that's crazy, è lontano, you know. So then I decided that the moment I would do Japan, it would be something special for me. So I'm very happy to get the opportunity to go. Australia is always great, second time for us going, so I expect it to be a good time. And now we will start with Sepultura, which are good friends of ours, and the record will drop only a couple of days before, and we're going to go promote it. So we're looking forward to it. It should be a good time.
And as I'm living in Italy, I'm of course interested in your shows over here. But this time, unfortunately, only one. On January 29th, you will play in Bruneck. But you, as Italian, the shows over here must have a special feeling, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's like a second home for me, Italy, you know. So I have so much family in Italy. It's crazy. I have like 19 cousins, I think, something like that. So it's a great place. I love it. I love the culture. You know, for metal, it depends where you go to play. You know, some places it's great. Some places it's a bit different. You know, and more south you go, the harder it is, it seems. But unfortunately for us, this tour is so long that we didn't have enough time to go more deep in Italy. You know, we had to kind of touch it a little bit. That's why we're playing Bruneck, which is like very north, almost in Austria, you know. But unfortunately, maybe later we will be able to come back, maybe play Milan and maybe even Rome again, like later. Hopefully, if we get the chance to, you know.
Yes,
but we were trying to do the best to play as many places as possible, but Italy is always a very special place, you know.
And what are the best and worst memories about Italy, let's say, on stage?
I think it was in one show. It was a great show because the fans were there, were great.
Yeah.
But it was not a lot of people. I think it was in Bologna, and it was maybe... I don't know, maybe 100 people, something like that. But then the food was amazing. So we had the best catering and the best supper ever at a show with different cooks cooking. It was great. And then we did a show that was only 100 people and in a very big room. So I prefer 100 people in a small room so that it's very intimate. I don't like huge rooms and stuff like that, you know. But then we've had great shows in Italy, in Milan, and we had great shows in the north, and you know, it's Italy is up and down when it's for metal, you know.
It's
not known to be the strongest market, you know, but we do have a lot of followers, and I think that the show in Bruneck will be good.
Yes, and I hope that the future will be better, I mean, in Italy, because I know also so many, many death metal lovers over here, so so let's hope the best. Okay, fingers.
Very cool, yes.
Yes. And if we still have time, do we? I think yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I'd like to ask about one episode you commented about Hellfest for using Death name in their 2014 advertisement. So what happened? Can you tell me about it?
Well, you know, I was very good friends with I was friends with Chuck, you know, of Death, and I know a lot of the things behind the scenes. I know that there's a lot of greed involved, you know, and I know that he wouldn't like that. You know, the way it's been presented to me was very disrespectful to him, because it's not, you know, they say the money goes into charities, but who knows where it's really going, you know. And if you're doing something for a charity, then you should be able to promote it as a charity, and you should also have the type of thing where it's a tribute band. They're advertising it in Europe. When I was in Europe, I saw it in about 6-7 different places advertised as Death, the band, you know, not like the tribute with special members from old Death albums or something. I think that people, it's not the fact, I think, you know, people know he's dead and he's not going to be there, you know, that I think people know that. But I think it's the respect manner behind it that's not right, you know. And it's like using a logo that even his family doesn't even own. It's owned by a lawyer. And then they are exploiting it, you know, in my opinion. And the first time they did it, they had a lot of problems with it in America. A lot of people didn't get paid, and there was crap behind it. I don't think people should support it. I don't think it's legit. It's not something that you would like. If it was done as a one-time thing, with all the musicians, Gene Hoagland and DiGiorgio and all the guys that made it happen with him, one time, you know, okay. But if you're going to do it at tours everywhere and there's all this money getting generated, who's really looking into it, you know?
Yes, so
that's my opinion. And I felt I had to say something, and I was glad that I did, and whatever, you know, people, at least I can aware, you know, put people aware of things, that's all.
And I hope it won't happen again. I mean, at least the clear papers and everything, and do the things as they should do, should be done. That's the respect for those who are not here any longer, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's my whole whole idea. You know, it was not about, you know, what's this. You know, it was just more about the idea behind it. I didn't think it was cool.
Yes. I thank you, Maurizio, for this reply.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Okay. And now we are on the last question, and the word is yours. So how would you like to close this chat? Maybe with some growl or something? I'm here.
With a growl. I have to warm up for that, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to tell everybody in Italy, and everybody that's listening to this interview or checking it out, that we are a very humble band, and that we are nothing without our fans, and we continue to do the music for the fans, and we hope to see them support us live and enjoy, have a beer, and live life.
Yes, live life fully. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you, Maurizio, very much for this chat, and I hope your these couple of weeks before the release would be great, and in spite of all those interviews that you have to do, and enjoy the tours and everything, and hope to see you in January 29th in Bruneck here in Italy.
Perfect, it'll be great.
Okay. And if you want to say something,
thank you.
Italy, you're welcome. In Italy, in your native language, so go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Allora, forza Italia, non mollare mai.
Okay, non mollare mai. Okay, grazie. Yeah. Thank you very much, Maurizio.
Okay,
have a great
ciao.
Day.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Thank you, you too.